Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. Here is your host, Joe Ganzis.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. It is great to be back. Just saying those words gives me goosebumps. It's been a while. And welcome back to Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. For the next 3 hours, we'll be talking drums, drums, drums. And if that's not enough, drum some more. Guys, we are back after a long hiatus due to many different variables. Just great to be back on the airways, talking drums and drums with some of the greatest drummers in the world. And tonight we spare no expense a living legend, one of the most recorded drummers ever at 8:30 p.m., the living legend, John J.R. Robinson. He's been on the show about five times. He'll be calling in about 8:30 p.m. Then a local drummer, a good friend of mine from upstate New York, Ken Marchesani at 9:40. The number to call, 563-999-3029. It's been a long time, guys, but we are back and just pumped up. We got many shows booked. Sometimes life gets in the way and you just have to go with it. But I thought today was the right time to bring the show back. Just love doing this, and we hope this second time around will be more lucrative for us and more successful. 563-999-3029. Let's see who's on the airwaves on the phone call right now. Hello, caller. Who is this?
Hey, Joe. This is Grant Menefee.
Hey, Grant. What's up? How you doing, brother?
I just wanted to congratulate you and wish you good luck, and glad to hear your voice, and I'm so proud of you, buddy.
Thanks, brother. How you been? How you doing, bro?
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, still teaching and playing away, and just good life.
You know, and just, Grant has been on the show. Grant has been on the show probably over 15 times over the years, and I always got to do this. We've met twice at the Delaware Drum Show, and he's had thousands of students. But when you have at least four of your students that grace the cover of Modern Drummer magazine, that's a pretty good resume, and you're still doing it great. I'm so proud of you that you're spreading the word of education all these years, brother.
Oh, thank you so much. It's I'm blessed and just grateful to be able to do it and fulfill my dream and watch you fulfill your dream too, Joe. You're man, you are the best interviewer. You have the best show. The other thing is it's live, and that's just fantastic.
You know, I like that you said that because I've had chances, I've had opportunities to do other shows where I can tape it and edit, and I've been a guest on many of my friends' Drum Talk radio shows where they edit. And whatever you want to do, doesn't say mine is better than yours. They want to edit the stuff. But I feel, Grant, that if you're live, everything is fresh. And if you make a mistake, you go with it. You know, we're not robots in life. And I think it's fresh that there's no hearsay or, you know, everything's fresh. And I like that rather than editing everything, you know?
Yeah, I think people are starting to like, you know, look, we all make mistakes. And, no problem. No, this is fantastic. Just so great to hear you back on live, you know.
Yeah.
And congratulations, Joe.
Thanks, brother. Are you going to be at the Delaware Drum Show next month?
I shall be there. And, can't wait to see you, buddy.
I will see you then. And we're going to be doing some round tables on the coming shows, and I hope to get you involved.
Oh, thank you. I love talking to other drummers and hearing what they have to say.
Yeah, I got one of your guests, one of your old students. I think the fourth or fifth show, I think I got Matt Halpern coming on, I think, in about 6 weeks.
Oh, my God, Matt. His name comes up in the studio almost every day. And, you know, what a sponge. God, he was a prodigy.
He was really
a prodigy, and he's grown to be a tremendous drummer, and just unbelievable, and one of the smartest drummers I've ever met. Tell you the truth.
Yeah, he's always a good guest, you know. And I've said this in the past.
Yep.
I've done over 1,000 interviews on Around the Kid. His first interview, where our conversation actually brought him to tears. It was emotional. It's in my top 10. It's in my top 10.
Matt comes from a really good family, and you know, if you met his parents, you'd see why he is the way he is. And you know who discovered him was Dennis Chambers' wife. Dennis
really?
Chambers' wife worked in the school that Matt was going to. It was like a middle school. And she heard him play, and she went home and said, "Dennis, you got to see this guy. This kid's unbelievable." And Dennis did hear him play, and you know, they became really good friends.
Yeah, and Dennis ain't too shabby either.
No kidding. Joe, I won't take much time. Just listen, you enjoy your comeback, and I'll see you in a few weeks. And man, love you, brother.
Love you, too. Guys, the great Grant Menifee. Grant, have a great night. Thanks, bro.
Thank you so much. All right. Bye.
You got it. Bye. Yeah, Grant Menifee, you know, I've met so many people over the years. Just a beautiful human being, a beautiful soul. So giving, and I got to mention it again, when you're a drum educator, a teacher for over 30 years, and you have four of your students, the cover of the biggest drum magazine in the world, it's a pretty good resume, on your part. So Grant Menifee, he's in that Baltimore, Maryland area. Check him out. He's just a master educator, and just love every time we get together. Every year we get together at the Delaware Drum Show. I think it's going to be February 27th this year. So about a month away. If you guys get a chance, come down. It's always a great time. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. Just want to give a shout-out to my beautiful daughter, Samantha Ryan Ganzis, who is listening tonight. I love you. And my fiance, Rachel Roman, and my brother, Michael, and my family and friends and people who just wish me well. I thank them all. And back with Around the Kid this second go, we had many sponsors the first time around, about 23 to be exact. And some of those sponsors, without mentioning names, I never mention names, were good to me, and some took advantage of me. Let's just say that. I was always very good to them. But, you learn in life. This time, I'm going to be very, very cautious and really picky with who I want on my show as a sponsor. But my main sponsor, I just love them. They're my main sponsor going forth. And it's the tremendous Sentent Cymbals. C-E-N-T-E-N-T. Sentent Cymbals. You can check their website at Sentent Cymbals USA. Arthur Stones is the guy. We've been good friends for about 2 years. I own four Sentent Cymbals in my garage right now. There are five drum sets set up. They all have Sentent Cymbals. Guys, we always think about these the big brands. Oh, Coke and Pepsi. Why is Coke and Pepsi the best? Well, are they the best? Or we just don't know about the other brand? We have all these great companies, these big cymbal companies. We know they're out there. Now we have Sentent, and people are giving them a chance. They have a voice. They sound beautiful. I have different series that sound crisp and dark and bright. I just love Sentent Cymbals. Just great, great prices and the best customer service in the business. Arthur Stones, check them out. Sentent Cymbals USA. Speaking of Sentent, let's play the spot where I'll be playing several times. So here's our new sponsor, Sentent Cymbals.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Sentent Cymbals. Sentent Cymbals is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Sentent blends the best of old-world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Sentent has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Sentent Cymbals. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzis.
Guys, we are live on the relaunch of Round the Kit Drum Talk Radio, 563-999-3029. We have about 8 shows in a row, and the guests, and I never brag about anything I do in life, these guests have been contacting me for over a year. They want to come back. Some of the biggest names in the business. We have, of course, the legendary J.R. John Robinson tonight, and after John, Here is our five shows. February 20th, the legendary Rod Morgenstein. March 8th, Johnny Rabb. 20th, a good friend of mine from Y&T, Mike Vanderhoof. We just mentioned before from Periphery. Matt Halperin on April 3rd. And from Rascal Flatts, Flame, and just a tremendous First Call drummer, the legendary, the great, Jim Riley, April 17th. We just booked the other day, May 1st, Brian Dune. If you know Brian, he's been playing with Hall & Oates for about 7 years, and he's the drummer on Daryl's House. So cool stuff. We just love getting all these different types of drummers in. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's go to the airwaves and see who we got on the line. Who's this?
Hello, it's Kelly Ray Tubbs.
Kelly, how are you? Long time no talk.
I am wonderful. Congratulations. I'm so happy to see you back on the airwaves again. This is wonderful.
Kelly is a tremendous drummer, a historian, and just love everything she does. She plays in so many different types of genres and acts and bands. She actually co-hosted a show for me. We did an all-girl show a couple of years ago, and she was the co-host. She's always a great guest. How have you been, Kelly?
I've been really great. I've been traveling a lot, and that's always fun for me, and getting some grant work, so I'm doing a lot of writing and composition. So it's been a way for me to stretch and still stay really connected with music.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We're going to have you back on probably in the summertime. You know, we'll connect with with a date. Are you doing anything as far as the historical stuff, you know, the old-time drums and drumming? Have you done any more of that stuff?
I am. You know, Daniel Glass and I have been meeting regularly for the book, working on that, which is taking a lot longer than I thought it would, but that's the way that things go sometimes. They take longer than you think and longer than you hope. But I've also got a couple of videos coming out sometime soon. I'm going to be hopefully in the studio shooting the video for that here in February. So a couple of interesting projects coming up.
Great. Check out Kelly Ray Tubbs at all her social media outlets. I appreciate the phone call so much. I will contact you soon to have you back on, and it's great to hear your voice, Kelly, and I thank you so much for helping us out tonight with the relaunch.
It's exceptional to hear your voice tonight.
Thank you. And we will talk to you, the great Kelly Ray Tubbs. I will contact you soon. Thank you, Kelly.
Bye.
Have a great night. Yeah, she's great. You know, one of the best radio voices, and I mean that, one of the best voices. I wish we could do more stuff. She has a much better voice than mine on the radio. I just blabber at times. She has a very, very professional voice. I always love when she comes on because it's her pronunciation and just her voice is always so, you know, on the money. So the great Kelly Ray Tubbs. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's see who else is on the line. Hello, Cole, you're out there. Who's this?
Hey, Joe. What's up? It's John.
Last name John.
Yeah? Hey. I lost you. Problem with you, Joe. Why are you always giving me a hard time? I love your show, but you give me a hard time.
Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I love your voice.
How you doing, bro?
Excellent, Joe. And you?
We got pumped up. We got a lot of calls tonight. Yeah, I appreciate you calling in to give us a little bit of your time.
Yeah, no, I'm really excited. I'm excited for you. I feel nervous, but I'm so happy you're back. You know that. I talk to you often. But all the best luck to you. I'm so happy you're on, and let's get this show rocking and rolling.
Yeah, if you remember, guys, several years back, John did a little mini series, The Recording Drummer. How many did you do, John? Because they're still on my website. Was it about 12 episodes?
I thought it was like 200 episodes, but it was probably 12 or 13.
Yeah, we had to edit them down.
You tried to get me to do about 200 episodes. I cut it down a bit. No, I really enjoyed doing that. Absolutely. Anything to help you, Joe, you know I'm there for you, buddy.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate you calling in, and I will definitely talk to you soon, guys. The great John Besser, Staten Island, New York.
Keep it real, Joe. Take care.
All right, bro. He's a great, great drummer. I know him for over 30 years. Just a tremendous drumming talent in many bands. Busy recording. He's in metal bands, country bands. I think he's in a Slim Whitman tribute band, but I'm not sure about that one. But he's in a lot of bands. He's a great drummer. He was in my brother-in-law's Van Halen band several years back. Just a great drumming talent, the great John Besser. Been on my show, and his series is still on my webpage, guys. You can check it out, The Recording Drummer. He goes over microphones and studio. It's a great series. I'm going to try to relive that and post some of those episodes if we can. We thank John Besser for calling in. We thank Kelly Ray Tubbs, and we thank Grant Menifee. Get about 10 minutes away from the legendary J.R. Robinson. And what can you say about J.R.? I always employ everybody to go to John J.R. Robinson's website. And when you sign in, when you press search and his page pops up, on the bottom, if it doesn't play by itself, play the audio clip for John J.R. Robinson. It is mind-blowing, the songs he has played on. And that's only an 11-minute sample. It's just so many people to mention, from Whitney to Barbara Streisand to David Lee Roth, of course, many, many years and songs with Michael Jackson. So we are happy to have John J.R. Robinson at 8:30 tonight, and at 9:40, a great drummer from, I think, the Catskill area, upstate New York, about 4 hours from me. I'm in Staten Island, so he's probably about 4 hours away. A great drummer, Ken Marchesani, will join us at 9:40 p.m. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. Take some more phone calls. We got about 8 minutes before we call JR. Really missed the show. Was going to do it last year. Was going to do a video format, but I decided against it. I see so many people doing that these days where you see two people face-to-face. I like this venue. I like this outlet, this format. I like the radio. I always say to people, I'm a big baseball fan, but I would rather listen to a game on the radio than watch it on TV. I just find it more appealing and, more attractive to me. But we are back. Just love what we're doing. 563-999-3029. So much going on these days in drums with the technology and all the new equipment and all these new apps and stuff. I wanted to touch on really fast, 5 minutes, on some of this technology that it's not going to be good for me, and I know it. I see so many people talking lately about tuning drums. Oh, I can't tune my drums. Every time I try, I blah, 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 blah. Get in there. My whole thing is, forget about these apps and these tune bolts and these things that tune your drum for you. I just don't like them at all. It's just my take on it. Grab a drum key, lock yourself in the room, in your shed, in my case, my garage, and practice. You practice drums, why not practice tuning? Just use the mind and invent that ear more, reinvent that sound to you. Try to get that whole tuning thing down, because I don't really want to think that we need something to help us tune a drum. If we're playing 10, 20, 30 years, and this year I'm playing 40 years drums, I think that if we're playing drums and we're pretty good at it, I think you have to give the tuning a chance also, But try to get in there, tune those drums the best you can. And if you make a mistake, you make a mistake. It's part of the process. But not a big fan of those tuning apps. Get the drum key and get in there. 563-999-3029 with our main sponsor, Send 10 Cymbals. Got some great shows coming up. just happy to be back, guys. It's been about a year and a half, a long hiatus, and I'm not going to blame COVID. That's the easy way out. Oh, you could just blame COVID. Really has nothing to do with COVID. I was at a point where I thought the show was at a standstill, and I couldn't really do what I wanted, and I was doing my last 5 or 10 shows just to do them, and I never want to do anything in life unless I really, you know, am 100%. It's not me to ever, you know, do something without giving 100%. So my last 5 or 10 shows, I was going through the motions, and I didn't feel right, so we stopped the show, and I was going to do it, but we're back, and we are so happy to be back. Your phone calls are always helpful. About 5 minutes to JR. We hope everybody's doing good. We are live on Around the Kit Drum Talk Radio. We got that spot. We got some people on the line, but I got to get to John soon. We're talking about drums and drums on the show, and we got some great shows coming up. To date, we've interviewed 345 of the world's best drummers. We've had about 1,000 interviews, 225 shows. We hope this second time around is just as successful as the first time. You can follow us on my Facebook page, Joe Ganzis, or my Around the Kit page, or go to our website, which I just revamped, aroundthekit.net. Everything is on there from past shows. All of our shows are on there. You can see our guest list. You can see the recording drummer, the working drummer, all our different series we had on. Just love doing this and happy to be back on the show, Around the Kit. We are live, 563-999-3029. Play our spot one more time. Let's play our brand new cymbal spot, and then we'll give this guy, John J.R. Robinson, a call.
Around the Kit is sponsored by Senten Cymbals. Senten Cymbals is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Senten blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Senten has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Senten Cymbals. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzis.
We are back, guys, live and Around the Kit Drum Talk Radio on the relaunch show today, January 30th. The number to call is 563-999-3029. Let's give Johnny a call. See if we can get this going. Let's call the great J.R. Robinson. I hope he's doing well. Let's give him a call and see how this goes. John J.R. Robinson. See if we can get him on.
Hey, Joe.
Hello. Hello. John, one second.
Yeah, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I hear you fine.
Good, guys, we are joined by a living legend, a friend to the show. I just got goosebumps because I heard his voice, and I love him so much. I love everything about him. Oh, I do. One of the most recorded drummers ever. Just love everything he's about. It gives me great pleasure to welcome him back to Around the Kit Drum Talk Radio, the man, John J.R. Robinson. John, Joe Ganzis, how are you, brother?
I am fantastic. Hey, Joe, and hello, Around the Kit peeps, and it's always a pleasure doing the show.
Oh, man, I actually missed your voice, Oles. I really did. I just always thank you, brother, for your time.
Ah, well, you know, I'm glad. Hey, man, I'm glad I still have a voice. And I'm glad. I'm honored to be on the show.
Now, let's talk about it. Let's talk about my loss last week. You guys beat us last week in the Bills, and I feel bad for you guys today at the Chiefs. I was rooting for them.
Oh, my God. Well, you know, it's the tale of two halves. Obviously, you know, we were driving a muscle car very fast in the first half, and the second half somehow I know there's conspiracy theories right now, by the way, about the second half. I'm just going to leave it up in the air now.
Okay, yeah. I just thought in my game, I just thought Buffalo played that prevent defense. They gave you guys so much. I never understood that, you know?
I think it was a game for the for all time. It was the best game I saw all year for I don't know how many seasons I've been watching football. So it was good ratings for the NFL.
John, what are you up to? It's been a while since we talked to David Forst. What have you been doing lately?
Well, first of all, when was the last time we did talk?
I think we talked. Maybe it was me, you, and Robin Flans, if you remember.
Yeah, I do remember. And, you know, obviously, you know, everybody that struggled with the 2020 year and COVID you know, everybody had their own personal crap. But, you know, we were glad 21. And 21, golly, we blew through like crazy. You know, I'm still touring with David Foster. We've had several legs over the last, 16 months or so get postponed or, you know, rebooked or canceled. And, you know, to all those people out there, you know, we were supposed to come and tour the Midwest and different places, and certain gigs got canceled. We just made up a run 2 weeks ago, and then we were in Las Vegas at the Wynn starting the beginning of a residency, it's not in a row, which I was a little confused about. It's it'll be like 3 days on and then, a couple of months off, and then you come back for 3 days on again and that sort of thing. So I'm doing that. And I guess the great news that came out is I got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I put a foundation together, which I'll talk about in a sec. But I also put a band together called the J.R. Robinson Experience, which is I went kind of back to my home roots in the Omaha, you know, Southwest Iowa area, and found a band and a singer that's almost like a Rufus Shaka clone, but a little more rock and roll and a little more jazz oriented. And so we did it. We did a couple of gigs back there, sold out, and my manager's now on it, and we're working on editing video, and then we're going to try to get that out on the road so other people can see it.
Oh, I love it, man. Guys, we are talking live, 563-999-302, time the legend, J.R. Robinson. Let's get to it, bro. I got so much to ask. I'm pumped up. I love talking to you. Just great stuff, brother. You know, we touched on the first interview you ever on, and I asked you a question about, you know, your parents, Jack and Helen, growing up in Crescent, Iowa. We talked about the values that they set around the dinner table and how you use those values today. But my question today is to you is the second side of this. The values that your parents conveyed to you early on in life, how have you transferred these values forward to your children?
Wow, that's a great question. And, you know, obviously complications of life through all those years, and, you know, I have three boys all spread out. You know, there's... You know, and also because of COVID, there's no more dinner table right now. So that's right. It's sad. So, you know, what you hope is that they listen to what you've been taught and how you put it forward. And, you know, with my parents, my mom being from the South, you don't really talk at the dinner table. You let the adults do the speaking. And if you got something to chime in, you know, you raise your hand, and then she'll say, "Yes, Johnny." And you know, my dad being from the North, you know, it was always this Mason-Dixon line problem in my house, in a good way. So I guess all three of my sons, my oldest one, John, lives in Vegas, and he's doing quite well. And Christopher is a kind of a rap writer producer, lives kind of in the valley here in the Los Angeles area. And then my son, Jack, he's almost 21, lives with me, and he's about to enroll in Berkeley, which is great. Nice. So you know, it's a different world out there, and yeah. I don't expect them to follow, you know, I'm one of a kind, like, you know, other, you know, our other peers, and they have to pave their own road, basically. So that's what I want them to understand.
Great stuff, as always. What level of pride or excitement is there for you, John, that your name has become synonymous with drummers all over the world?
Well, I'm extremely grateful for that. You know, growing up in a small town and you know, when you're in a small little town, you become a little bigger cheese, you know, and then yeah. I'll be honest, when I got to Boston and went to Berkeley, I was thrust into a level of almost high jumping where you say, oh my God, listen to that guy. Man, I need to learn what he's doing. What is he doing? I don't know. Well, yeah. Let's figure it out,
right.
You know, and then it becomes a healthy competition. And then, you know, you don't really, you know, when I was 18, you think you know everything, and I didn't know anything. And then all of a sudden you finally become worldly, and then you apply that to your individual style, and instead of, you know, being a clone to somebody else. And that's what I've always prided myself.
Let's talk about that, what you just said. Much older now, do you know everything now?
Jeez. Hey, thanks. Hey, let me get my walker. I'll be right back.
I didn't mention your age. I just said.
I know. Hey, my walker's funky, though. No, I'm kidding. And by the way, you know, if I had a cane, man, I could still have that real AF walk. So, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
What the hell was the question, Joe?
You know, we said when we're young, we think we know everything.
Oh.
Do you know everything now?
No, God, no. No. It's the interesting point in this level of my career, which, let's see, I started playing in 63, so you do the math. How many years is that?
That's 59.
Yeah, almost 60 years, and so what happens is, yes, you try to practice in some sort. I know that we've discussed physical practice and mental practice. As long as you're running through things in your brain, then you eventually do need to apply it physicality. So that one becomes a little less stressful and. You know, you want to make sure the muscle, you know, matter is moving. But when I go play with cats, like last week I was with Nathan East and Greg Fillinganes, and arguably that's the greatest rhythm section of all time. And we just, you know, we all come in and say, hey, and let's listen to the song. And it was for a great artist named Bradley McCaw out of Australia. And it was just some great, great, you know, kind of pop, rock and roll But, you know, we've known each other, and I guess the maturity dominates. You know, there's absolutely no red light syndrome anymore, you know. You don't get nervous. You if there is a problem, whatever it is, you know it can be worked out. You know,
absolutely.
So for me, I'd love – I mean, listen, my mentor, Quincy Jones, is – God bless him. I think he's 88 now.
Yeah.
And I bet if you asked him that question, he'd say, heck no, I don't know everything, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're flying by the seat of your pants, but, you know, other times, you know, should I have turned left when I turned right? I don't know, because you make that decision in real time.
But I think everything we do in life, it's okay. It's okay to turn left. It's okay to drive down a dead end. Because you learn something driving down that dead end. You know next time don't do that, or you'll learn why you did that. So and we touched on mistakes, John, in the past. I don't mind at times making mistakes because you'll learn from them.
Well, there's no question about it. Sometimes, you know, it's interesting. I remember years and years ago going through a divorce. And got on the session, and this is, I guess, just a human thing. And I guess my patient level with the other musicians was jaded and shortened. And I had one guy, and I'll mention his name, just to me the greatest guitar player in Los Angeles, Dean Parks. And Dean grabbed me and kind of literally put me in the corner and said, "Man, you know, you got to chill out. You know, you're kind of messing up, and you're thinking selfishly, and do a few more takes, and you know, put your heart into it." And it's like, we know your brain's somewhere else. He goes, "Oh, okay." So I finally heard the guy, and I'll never forget that. You know, it's like, yeah, we make left turns, and we decide to do things, you know. And I guess we could relate this as drummers. You know, let's say you're playing a song you've never played before, and maybe you've heard somebody else play that song, but you say, "Well, shoot, okay." One side of your brain goes, "Well, should I play it like that guy?" And then be insecure about maybe the part, or actually delayed. As a drummer, if you're insecure, you're going to be behind in some capacity, mostly mathematically and time-wise. Yeah. Or should I play it like myself and, you know, using a sports analogy, make it your own?
Right.
You know, and I choose the latter.
Well, if you watch me on all my pages, I always make songs and make my own. Yeah, yeah, and I love doing that. I'm about to do one of your songs. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tag you in the song this week. It's a surprise for you. But I like taking songs, and I like making them my own. And you know what? If you watch a video and you say, "Joe, I didn't like that," I will accept that. But I'm still going to put it out because that's what I was feeling when I was playing.
Right. Right, and the song moved you.
Of course. It's
you
like
know?
If you're an artist and you put out you put out an album and a million people listen to it and 500,000 people love it and 500 don't love it, it's still a home run.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, you know, we used to, with Rufus and Shaka, always used to go, "Well, you know, there's some bad press this week," and we go, "Well, shit, any press is good press." You know, so that's true. You know, unless you're being represented by Spotify, and then you got to pull your shit out now. So that's all. And that was my political plug. I just said it.
I think in the mid '70s, if I'm correct, it was Vinny, you, and Steve Smith back-to-back-to-back years. Am I right?
Not in that order. It was Steve, me, and Vinny in that order.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Steve was older.
It was you, Steve.
It was Steve was older a year, me, and then Vinny was younger a year.
Oh my God! How's
and
that,
you know who else is? Hey, you know who else is in that class? Was Casey Sherrill and Kenwood Dennard.
Oh, okay, cool.
We were all in the same class together with Gary Chaffee, and I almost. I had long, really long hair in college because, you know, everybody does. And I almost pulled my hair out. That was like that Gary Chaffee polyrhythmic stuff that, by damned, I still don't use today. I mean, I've seen it on film, motion picture.
Right.
We'll just leave that one alone.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go back a little bit. We talked on so much in your life. You've never touched on this. What was the fascination when the Saints go marching in at 7 years old?
Oh, God, remember that, yeah. I got a feeling it was, as I listened, and for people that don't know this story, I used to use my mother's record player. You know, she had one of those big consoles, and I'd probably maybe blew the speakers up, I don't know. But and I was listening to all her big band and swing records, and I got really into records and started buying my own records. And I think I heard or saw the Louis Armstrong, Danny Kaye movie. It's called The Five Pennies. And it's a story about, what's his name? The trumpet player. It just slipped my mind. But Danny Kaye plays him, and Red Nichols. And in the movie, he's a frustrated jazz musician, and he goes and sits in, with this band, with Louie, and it's a beautiful scene. And they play When the Saints Go Marching In. And I don't know, that must have registered because I bought the 45 back in, shit, whenever the hell that was, early 60, 61. And I just spun the hell out of it. So the answer to your question, it's probably because it swung its ass off. It was just, it had a thing. And it also had a dialogue going on between Louie and Danny. Danny, you know, doing his Broadway, jazz Broadway vibe with Louie's realism. And I think that's what grabbed me.
Yeah. Great stuff, guys. We're talking to the legend, John J.R. Robinson, 563-999-3029. Just great to have him back on. You know, we touched on it before, so I'm going to ask the question, but you mentioned it before. We're always practicing in life, everything we do. For me and you, John, it's rudiments, charts, solos, fundamentals, etc. But besides the physical aspects, should we also be practicing the mental form of what we do as drummers?
Well, I touched on that a little earlier, on any gig I do, like the night before, I kind of equate it to when I, back in the thinner days, you know, when I ran track, and I would never sleep the night before a track meet, you know, and I always run that event in my brain. So I do the same thing with music, and you know, a lot of people go, why are you with David Foster? I mean, why? Nobody really knows who this guy is. And I go, well, first of all, he's like a modern Rachmaninoff. You know, he's like a modern Beethoven. The guy is just a genius musically, and I enjoy being around him. But consequently, he poses challenges all the time, and he's really hard on his musicians. And I've been able to just basically... You know, I can tell them to F off, or we'll bet each other $100 that I can play the fill correctly the next time we've learned it, you know, and shit like that. So, you know, getting back to the mental aspect, that'll go in my brain about, you know, that gig or my solo gig or a song I'm writing. Like, for example, my great engineer friend, Steve Sykes, and, this girl that I produced with this rock band, her name is Heather Parrish out of Lexington. We co-wrote a song called Save You, and we're pushing that right now. Well, we had it done, mixed, and mastered 6 weeks ago. And I all of a sudden I go, man, something's not right. So about a week and a half ago, I go, I've got to, you know, because I play keys also, and I go, I gotta change this. I gotta modernize the intro and the first verse. And so I redid it and pulled everything out. But that wouldn't have happened unless I had you know, I was practicing mentally. You know, I was going over stuff mentally. So, yeah, we got to use our brains or, you know, we're dead.
Absolutely. You know, John, you have achieved so much as a master drummer, educator, percussionist, so on and so on. The albums, the songs, the artists, the awards, and so on. If there's a void, JR, that you haven't fulfilled yet as an artist, what would that be?
Well, I think individually it would be great. I mean, awards are so overrated. You know, and no offense to the Great Modern Drummer magazine or winning an award or you know, no offense to country western people, but. You know, there's an award every night, and I don't quite get that. I mean, you know, do we all need to pat each other in the back all the time? I don't, and honor them with a piece of brass. I don't think so. So, but it would be nice to win another Grammy. I think I've probably stated that before. And you know, by the way, I just finished scoring my second movie, which is a thing. I don't know since we talked. This one's called The Super Bob Einstein Story, and it's on HBO, and it's about Super Dave Osborne, or his name was Bob Einstein. He's Albert Brooks's brother, and he was kind of a very dry, tall, gangly comedian. He started on the Smothers Brothers. So I got to score about half the movie, and it's very successful from New York Times and everything. So if anybody gets to see it, You know, it's like it's a whole other side, and I really enjoy that. That leading that maybe in 10 years, you know, I would have had scored a, you know, bigger film and maybe get some, you know, the Oscar thing was always, us in the industry look up to that level, you know. It's mm-hmm. it's kind of the, you know, it's like winning an Olympic gold medal. And I guess there's part of me that is that, and the other part is I'm very grateful for the career as it lays, you know, today. I mean, you know, I'm trying to just branch out and do other things, and I guess why I'm plugging, that's why I started a foundation, and it's called handsfordrummers.org. And what we do is we help out underprivileged, it could be inner city, it could be Midwest, really struggling, injured musicians and that sort of thing. And we also will pair up with other organizations, you know, such as, you know, veterans and things like that. So this one guy that we've paired up with that we're working with is his stage name is Mr. Bones. And his name is Daniel Amaya, and he's a quadriplegic producer of acid rock and artist. And it's insane. This guy has he's kind of in a, you know, it's you can't help but feel sorry for him. And he's constantly in the hospital, and he's got a spaceship around him where he does all this stuff. So I've done three songs with him. And ironically, as a drummer, you know, most of my beats are between, 78 and 136 BPM. His start at 170.
Oh, God.
It's like, holy shit. That's all I'm going to say. So anyway, handsfordrummers.org, and our website has just launched. And, you know, if there's a whole bunch of rich people sitting out there, we'll take your money, and it's going to go to a great cause, and it's all California legal. So
I'd like to put that that website on my webpage, if you'll allow me.
Absolutely. You can do that, and obviously John J. Robinson is being redone too.
Yes.
But, yeah, handsfordrummers.org.
I thought you were going to say about one of the voids in your life that you wanted to play in a death metal band. I could see you in a death metal band.
Yeah, I now what's the message they're saying? So I mean, you know, now being a producer, you know, I actually have to listen to the message. You know, it's like, okay, is there a message here? It's like, okay, but yeah, let's say death metal. Jeez, I would have to play at 200 BPM with constant 16th notes
and a lot of double bass.
All double bass. And, you know, in the words of Quincy Jones, he'd go, "Hey, JR, don't play that shit." And then I'd have to walk away. Oh, the good days.
I know you have spoken about Quincy over the years as your mentor on many shows, and it's just great. You know, is Quincy Jones your Mona Lisa in life?
Wow, that's good analogy. Interesting. I guess, who painted the Mona Lisa?
Wasn't me.
I think he's the painter.
Okay.
I've had the great fortune, and I know there's a lot of other drummers in my age group that have played with a lot of great producers, and, you know, I started working with David Foster when we were just, 1981. It was a Bill Champlin record called Runaway. It's a great record. And there's a song in there called Satisfaction. And Jeff had split the record with me, which was really nice. But, you know, David was just starting to produce in 81. And I kept, you know, getting calls with him, even though he was a session player. So, you know, it was Quincy first for me. You know, David, Arif Mardin, I got to work with, God bless him. He was so good. Russ Heidelman. But I think Quincy Jones is, you know, he learned the hard way. You know, he was a jazz trumpet player who was okay, and you know, ended up getting in Lionel Hampton's band, which was really aggressive, and then decided that he was better at, you know, maybe at arranging, and then he had the brain aneurysms, which forced him out of playing trumpet. So he's accomplished so much, you know, with Leslie Gore doing pop white music, you know, and then, you know, all this, all that funk stuff, and then In the Heat of the Night. And it's just like, sure, I look up to him. He's been able to have a fully filled plate of food at Thanksgiving and digested it all.
What is going on with you as far as David Foster? Are you guys going to be back on tour soon? You know, what's up with that right now?
We, let's see, where are we? We just got off. Where did we go? We were in Palm Springs for three shows, and then we had a couple cancel or postpone, and then we went to Las Vegas to the Wynn. So our next level starts, and I can actually, hold on 1 second. I will give you, I have to look on my phone. I can give you some information here. We start in April. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. We start in April, Matt. I'm looking for a tour manager. Here we go. Okay. Yeah, we start out in Reno. Yeah, we start out April 14th. So I'm just going to run these down. We're in Reno, Modesto, interesting, Escondido, Mesa, Arizona, and then we do our residency in Vegas, and then we end up here in my hometown of Thousand Oaks. And that's the next leg. And then I'm doing a David Foster Foundation gig in early May. And then after that, I know there's stuff booked all through the year, but at that same point, I'm going to be trying to, you know, booking the J.R. Robinson Experience also. So, you know, it's a different thing. It's a little more aggressive, and, you know, I'm a little more me forward on that. So
is John J.R. Robinson always the perpetual student?
I guess so, because, I mean, you know, what's funny is that I'm playing, like with the J.R. Robinson Experience, I'm playing hits that I've done with all these famous people. So to reenact them in a new band with their new concepts makes me a student of my own stuff. So I guess so, and it's not just my stuff. Sure, absolutely, and you know, I think we talked before about my, you know, I like vinyl and listening to the masters, especially through the bebop period, because these guys again set the bar high. And so, now, yeah, I mean, that's, I always learn from them.
When you play your own stuff with this band or any time, do you play the songs how you did 30, 40 years ago, or do you like to experiment and play a little different now?
I am experimenting, which, you know, I used to always use that as like that sacred territory. Like, don't change up Ain't Nobody. Don't play it differently like all the other drummers do, or Rock With You, or Don't Stop to Get Enough, or All Night Long, or, you know. But then when you start, again, when you start playing with new players, new bass players, whatever, maybe you find yourself going, well, that's, you know, that's repetitious, like you did it maybe on the record. But let me add this little bit of thing. I guess the thing is, you want to still keep the integrity of the song.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know.
And obviously you can't do that with David Foster, because I guess he's the guy.
Oh my God! If I dropped a 16th note at pianissimo during a spot where maybe he's talking to Catherine on stage, he'd know. You know, I don't know where the guy, I mean, elephant ears, that's all I'm going to say. Yeah, you got to be on your little tippy toes for that one.
Yeah, right. Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. Any phone calls for JR, let us know. Just love stuff. Love always talking to him. You know, we many things on in your career, but, you know, what's more important in you, personal satisfaction or public vindication of what you do?
What was the word after personal?
Vindication.
Well, I don't know if there's vindication with personality. I mean, I think everything is personal. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to live the Hollywood life. I mean,
right.
Kind of, you know, when I moved here in 78 and, you know, joined Rufus, these guys were superstars and they were living the Hollywood life and driving fast cars and living really dangerously. And, you know, I'm a Midwest guy that likes to be able to see 3 miles when I open up the door. Ever since when I moved here, I kind of stayed away from Hollywood and that scene and those people. And so far to this day, it's still proven true. So I kind of like the personal thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I always wanted to know, because this year I'm going to be 53. I'm actually playing drums 40 years. And I noticed at times, yeah, thanks, brother. I noticed at times everything is there. I love inventing new stuff, but my hands lately have been coming in some problems. Tell me about playing over 60 years. How is the body holding up, brother?
Well, let's talk about your hand situation first, and then I'll lead into that. So you don't wear gloves?
No, I don't like gloves. It just
good.
Doesn't work for me.
I know famous drummers who wear gloves, and I'm going, why? I'm just going to leave
it
at that.
I don't get it either.
Yeah. You know, it's like hitting a baseball. You know, there's only one way to hit it. It's with a friggin' bat that's made out of wood. Maybe in the future stuff will change, but I don't know. But, you know, you have to, I guess, if you got hand injuries and or wrist, you need to look at how you're holding the stick and make sure you're not playing too hard. Make sure you let your whole body be more fluid. So, and maybe pull the sound out of the drum instead of pushing it in, that sort of thing. So getting back to what you were saying, 2020, I didn't really share a lot of this information, but I had four major injuries in 2020. And one was I broke my fibula on my bass drum foot. And, you know, that fibula is the smaller leg bone connected to the right ball of the ankle.
Okay.
And I broke it playing drums. And all I can tell you is, I don't want to insult somebody, but I was playing a foot pedal that I do not endorse. And I looked down, and my whole leg was bent, and I didn't know it. And I go, oh, shit. and we're in COVID, so I went and got x-rayed. They go, yeah, you're broken, blah, blah. So I was in rehab for 7 months on that. And at the same time, I had some vascular issues in my right leg, fixed that. I had gotten a little bit of skin cancer, fixed that. And another issue that you will go unnamed. But anyway, coming out of that, it's beautiful. 21 is fantastic. All the things have healed up, and everything's just stronger than ever. As far as that and equating to drums, if you find yourself overplaying or playing too hard or too loud, then there's a lot of variables. One is it's controlled by you. In other words, if you're playing with a loud guitar player and you're still sweating and struggling to play, to keep up audibly with the guitar player, then it's up to you to A, turn him down in your zone or tell him to turn the stage level down. And don't be afraid to do that because the drummer controls the output of the stage volume.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's kind of like how I've, you know, shoot, I can remember ripping my thumb open in Mississippi on a gig at Itabita, Mississippi with Rufus and Chaka Khan. I ripped my right thumb open playing in a gymnasium. And it just bled and bled. And I mean, I ripped it open and everybody was too loud. And Bear, my cartage guy, came up and wrapped my thumb up. I couldn't even hold onto the drumstick, you know. And I had been with, you know, certain bands where the guitar player is really loud. And, you know, I used to be with Frampton. And so this dude I'm talking about was even louder than Frampton. So I'm just, I could rant on about this forever.
John, can we take a phone call? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
All right. We are live on Around the Kid. Who's on the phone? Who's this? How you doing?
Yeah, hi. Joe, this is Bob Ochenon. Thanks again for starting your show back up. My question is for JR. And first of all, I got to say, not only are you a world-class drummer, you're a world-class human being. It's
oh, Bob, thanks.
To you.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate the ears.
You're welcome. This just kind of goes back to something you were talking about with some guys that have these elephant ears. What's your philosophy on less is more when it applies to the drums? And when you're learning new tunes, JR, is there, like, if it's rock or is it jazz, is there a certain, like, is your bass drum, your snare drum, or your cymbal that you focus on, or is it always, you know, what you hear that will decide, you know, how you blend the elements of your kit together? And, again, thanks for taking my question, and thanks for being such an awesome inspiration to so
many. Oh, Bob, hey, man, thank you. And that's actually a two-subject question. So, you know, the first part of that is about, you know, less is more. And I think that applies to pop, rock, modern indie music, you know, North American music, where, you know, it's more guitar synth driven or the vocal line. And I always, if there is a vocalist, and I always refer back to what is the melody doing at that point in the song where you want to maybe put, oh man, I feel like I'd put this unbelievable hip fill here. And then let's say you try to put it there on a take and you realize you just totally swallowed the melody, no pun intended. And so that's that, you know, so in the words of Ed Sof, when I was a little kid, man, less is more. And we've heard, and he heard that from the old guys. Now getting to the second part of that, because he brought in the jazz. Now jazz, when you're playing jazz, again, it's very cerebral. And it also, you don't lead with the bass drum. Getting back to what I do most of the time is I lead with the bass drum. My whole music is drumming is based on the bass drum. Well, if I'm playing jazz, though, and I'll bring in a little 18-inch Bob kit or my beautiful 72 Gretsch that I bought in New York right when I went to Berkeley, I will lead with the ride cymbal. And ride cymbal and hi-hat and make that the groove that floats, yet they still want to hear time. They want to hear time and they want to feel that. Then when you start adding more of the low end of the kit, first of all, the kit's not that low end, but again, for jazz and big band, it is. And, you know, you drop your bombs and, you know, that's why it's bringing that up. When you think about Louis Belson and Gene Krupa and then Buddy Rich, you know, or Buddy Rich after Gene, dropping, you know, four to the floor a lot, but you don't really hear it. But, you know, no microphones on it, but you felt it with Calfskin Heads. You know, that was part of that sound that, you know, and no offense to Mylar, but when Mylar came around, it changed the sound of Sonics being recorded on records. So I kind of went to a third direction there. But
if I could just touch on this, Bob, if you could stay there. I wanted to ask JR, you know, we all have preference on our bass drum size, and I've played everything from 18 to 28. Is there one preference, JR? I mean, your resume is just impeccable. Is there one bass drum size that you tend to want to play or lean to?
You know, that's a great question. And Bob, thanks for triggering Joe's question. But, you know, it's in a perfect world, obviously, I always use a 24. And, you know, being with Yamaha for 30 years, I had a narrower 24. It was, I think it was 14. And then when I got with John Good, I ended up going to 16s and 18s. And I didn't really understand it until I went to a different kind of wood direction. However, it would be great for a tour to do all 18-inch bass drum and that kind of music. And it would also be great for me to play a 28-inch bass drum for that kind of – because when I get behind that kit or any of those kinds of kits, I'm a different drummer, even though I'm the same drummer. You know, for example, in my studio here, I have a clone of my A set, which is 24, 12, 13, 16, 18, and whatever the hell snare drum I'm using. And then in another part of the house, Mike, the great Norm Freeman, percussionist, gave me a mid-66 Slingerland. And Jack and I, my son, restored it, brought it back to life, mic'd it. It sounds ridiculous, and it makes me play totally different.
John, give me the bass drum. Give me the bass drum size on Rock With You.
Rock With You is Gretsch 22-14.
How about if we go to Ain't Nobody?
Ain't Nobody was Yamaha 24-14.
We go to any Whitney Houston stuff.
Let's see, the original Whitney Houston stuff. All the children, yes, so special. Oishkova.
Saving all my love. Saving all my
24, love. All 24-14. Because I had quit using the Gretsch because of the endorsement. You know, I know some guys, and maybe the late Jeff, you know, used to keep using the Gretsch stuff, but I was really true to my brand and, you know, making it work and stuff.
24 is love it. Wow. Bob, thanks for the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in, brother.
Thank you for having me. And, again, thanks again to JR for this great, great interview. Take care.
Beautiful, Bob. Hey, and you guys are all on the East Coast. How was the snow?
Oh, the snow is white.
About a foot.
White, cold, and deep.
Yeah, hey, listen, man, I remember. I lived in Boston for almost 6 years, and I heard that. That they got almost 2 feet, so there you go.
Yeah. You in Berkeley, same time as one of my brothers. So.
Oh, did I know him?
No, his name was Rich Santapega, but no, you guys did not cross paths.
Oh, boy. Well, it was if we did, it was the analog path.
Thanks, guys. Take care, man.
I got
to go. Bye. All right. Thank you.
His wife must be pawing at him. God bless Bob.
His wife. Get off the phone. Get off the phone. Hang up. Come on.
God, what are you doing wasting our time talking to a fucking drummer? I'm kidding. Sorry, I can say that.
You can say anything, bro. I got a couple more, bro, and I always thank you for your time. It's just a great – it's a great 45 minutes when you come on my show and make it better. You know, we always talk about, you know, what we as drummers and artists do for the audience.
Right. Right.
What does the audience in return, John, do for you?
Well, it's interesting. Even I, you know, this David Foster stuff, you know, I get excited, you know, right pre-show, and I'll go out and I'll sneak out a little bit and shoot pictures of the crowd with my iPhone. And then when I'm sitting behind the drums, I'll shoot pictures of the crowd. And it's just, even with COVID, you know, thank God this thing is hopefully turning its ugly head. But the people have come out, and the people are even more enthusiastic. So when I see that, and if I happen to play off something that I know that I'm going to, because I know the show intimately, excuse me, I know that where I'm going to enlighten people, it's great to be able to to almost like a give and take with the audience, even though it's, you know, it's not the Buddy Rich Band, you know, it's everybody's one in this band. And it's just great. It's great, you know, giving and taking with the audience.
John, I cannot thank you. You know, I've always asked a different question in my interviews. I'm not sure I ever asked you this one, but it's one that I've been asking everybody, and they either really like it or it just makes their brain twist. You know, what is the total destiny in life for a J.R. John Robinson?
Wow. Well, I mean, that's obviously higher up spiritually based. You know, I guess, you know, with my path, assuming I'm still on the right path, which I don't know what any other path to be on, is to try to, you know, to be the best that you can be. But I think to you need to contribute to humanity instead of taking from it. You need to add to it. And so when you're gone, and, you know, God willing, I got another 25 years if I'm lucky, you know, when I'm gone, and, you know, hopefully people will remember one thing that I have maybe helped somebody with, and that one thing will multiply into 10 things with somebody else and that sort of thing. So I think that's basically it.
Yes, and I do this a lot, and I always try to employ people. You know, we always want in life. You want, I want, and at times we're very greedy. But instead of always wanting, I think a great gift in life is the gift of giving in any capacity.
Absolutely, you know, Joe. Absolutely. Yeah. And if we could get, listen, if we could get everybody, well, and I think that's what drummers do. And I think that ties into that first question you asked or a little just a second ago, is that, you know, what do we get out of it? Well, you know, we're, first of all, when we get behind the kit, you know, first of all, how long can we solo for? Ever? And who gives a shit? You know, what it really is about, it's about making people laugh and smile and cry and dance and you know, throw their vinyl across the room and break up and make up and love and hate. And it's about emotions and that's what we do. And so that's why the drummers are by far superior musician to everybody else.
Absolutely. And speaking of drummers, since we spoke last, we've lost one of the greats of all times, Neil Peart. Did you know Neil?
I knew him a little bit. I can't say that we were close. I met him via John Good, and you know, there was he was a household name.
Yeah,
and that's something to be said. And he had a lot of passion, and he was an incredibly brilliant human being with a writing capacity. He had his private thing with his two-wheeled obsession, and you know, that's kind of like, you know, me. I like driving faster four-wheel cars and just different things like that. I loved him. Neil was great, and God bless him.
Yeah. Guys, we have been educated once again by the great John J.R. Robinson. John, I thank you. I always thank you so much for just enlightening the audience and just coming on and making my show better than it was, and I hope we could do this again. You are just a beautiful human being, and I owe you so much for what you have given me the last 6 years, brother.
Joe, it's always great to be around the kit, and that's why I like doing your shows, because, you know, we're not going, hey, how do you tune that second lug? You know, I mean, again, you know, I guess part of me goes, if you haven't figured it out by now, you know, and it's great to just do this connection, and sure, when I get to see you, I want to play on some of those kits, brother.
Oh, man, if you're ever around New York and New Jersey, you come over. I have 5 sets in the garage. I'm sure you've seen them all.
I know. Hey, we are coming to the Count Basie Theater. So.
Oh.
I'm not sure when that is, but those are the makeup dates. It may be. Yeah, you let me know, and I'll get you in.
Okay, brother. Guys, the great John J.R. Robinson, have a great night. I personally love you. And just, guys, I always tell you, go on John's website, grab a drink or two or three, and just sit there and listen to the samples this tremendous drumming talent has played on. I say thank you, brother. And we are at Around the Kit. We are better tonight because of you. Thank you, brother.
Hey, thanks, Joe. And I love you guys. And as I say to my engineer, TBC, to be continued.
Thank you. Have a great night, brother.
All right, buddy. You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. All right. Guys, I miss this stuff. I have missed this stuff. I don't want it to end. You know, I don't want the interview to end. I missed the show. I really did. You don't know what you have until it's gone and all that jazz, but I really missed doing the show. And to have a guest, to have John J.R. Robinson on our relaunch, you know, are there better drummers in the world? I don't know. What's better? You know, is Coke better than Pepsi? You know, we think this is better than this, but just his resume and his body of work, it speaks for itself. You know, go on John J.R. Robinson and listen. Really, guys, listen to that 12-minute clip. It's just mesmerizing. We thank the great John J.R. Robinson. We are live 646-787. See what I did? I made a mistake, guys. I made a mistake. That's the old number. Old number. I made a mistake. We do that, we'll do it again. Guys, the number is 563-999-3029. I was... Old number out there. Okay. We'll get better. Probably make mistakes more in life. It's okay. 563-999-3029. Let's play our spot. We got a great drummer in about 10 minutes from New York, Ken Marchesani. Here is our Sentent cymbal spot.
Around the Kit is sponsored by Sentent Cymbals. Sentent Cymbals is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Sentent blends the best of old world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Sentent has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Sentent Cymbals. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzes.
Guys, we are back, 563-999-3029. Just another great interview. I think that's JR's fifth time on the show. I think the first time was May of 2016. So I think he's been on it about five times. The legendary Robin Flans, who I'm trying to get back on my show, she helped me co-host a show with John. We had a great time. They go back much more than me and John. They go back about 30 years. Robin is a legend in interviewing drummers. Check out all she does. But just love John's outlook on life. Very intelligent human being, and giving back with his foundation. Right now, his foundation has flipped the mind. I will put it on my page, and I'm going to put a link on my website. As John does, I love giving back too. I think the greatest gift we have in life is just to give in any capacity. So John's doing a great job, and hope to check him out at the Count Basie Theater. That's in New Jersey. That's in Red Bank. I've been there several times, so hopefully we can get together and I can come say hi to him. I'm a big David Foster fan for a long time. David Foster has worked with Bob Seger over the years, Chicago, just everybody from that 70s and 80s, or classic rock. He's just a genius in what he does. And his show, his beautiful wife, Catherine McPhee, who my brother Michael's a big fan of, Don't tell him that. But just love everything David's done. Another one of those musical geniuses. Just great stuff. We are live, 563-999-3029. Take some phone calls if you're out there. We got about 5 minutes before our next guest. Guys, we have a couple of show notes. We're doing my show every other week. Not every week, every other week. So we were doing the show every week for 3 hours. We're doing it every other week for 2 hours. And tonight was JR. We are actually not going to be back in 2 weeks because of the Super Bowl. The schedule just worked out that way. So we're back in 3 weeks from now. And this is our schedule coming up the next five, next six, not too shabby. February 20th, Rod Morgenstein. March, a good friend of mine, one of my favorite drummers, Johnny Rabb. March 20th from Y&T, another good friend of mine, Mike Vanderhoof, just a powerhouse. We talked about him before, Matt Halpin from Periphery, another Pearl guy. April 3rd, and the legend, Jim Riley, Rascal Flatts. Just love Jim. I met Jim at a Dave Reckless show a couple years ago, and he's been on the show about three or four times. Jim Riley, April 17th. We go into May. May 1st, we have Brian Dune. Brian is just an excellent drummer. Hall & Oates, 7 years, and he plays on Daryl's House. I think we have March 15th, a Nashville drummer, David Northup. Great stuff. So we have a lot of great talent coming up. We're trying to really get one guy in the heavy metal genre, a living legend. We are close to locking him down. The emails have been slow back and forth with this person, but hopefully we'll lock that down too with this living legend in metal. Hope to get him. We are live, 563-999-3029. Thanks to JR. We spoke about a lot of stuff in the interview. And as JR said, I don't like to ask him, what's your favorite song? How do you tune this? I didn't even like asking about the bass drum. But a good friend of mine, Bob Bocchinone, who was a great drummer, had touched on what drum do you use. So I always wanted to know, what drum he likes. And he likes 24s. I'm surprised. I thought he'd be 22 or 20, but loves the 24, that big sound. Great stuff. And then he mentioned we could be here all day mentioning all the songs he's played on and the hits. You know, what size, 22s and 24s. But always love having JR on. He enlightens the mind and well-spoken and just a resume for the ages. I mean, when you talk about drummers who have done it all, and I always say this, if you look in the dictionary and there's the word drummer, John J.R. Robinson's picture should be next to that in the dictionary. We are live, 563-999-3029. Let's give it a go, mate. Let's play it one more time tonight because we're just big fans of Sentent and the connection we have. We have a great marriage right now, myself and Sentent. We help each other out, and helping each other out in life, that's what we should all be doing a little more. Here is our Sentent spot one more time, guys. Sentent symbols.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Sentent Symbols. Sentent Symbols is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Sentent blends the best of old-world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Sentent has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Sentent Symbols. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kit with Joe Ganzes.
We are back, guys. We'll get it again. 563-999-3029. Once again, thank you, John J.R. Robinson. I see our next guest on the line, and I've been following this guy. We've become friends on social media. Love is playing. He's a local drummer from upstate New York. It gives me great pleasure to welcome to Around the Kit for the very first time, Ken Marchesani. Ken, Joe Gibbs on Around the Kit. What's up, brother?
Joe, how you doing? It's great to hear your voice, actually. You know, that's the first time for me, and, you know, it's great to be on the show. I mean, great, and I got to say, the interview with JR was just fantastic.
Brother, Ken Marchesani, our Facebook friend, social media guy, we never met, but that's okay. We talk a lot, and I watch his stuff. He likes my stuff. He's a great drummer. How you doing tonight, Ken?
I am doing good. You know, a little cold up here, and we're up by Albany, New York, you know, so we got some tough weather the last couple of days and stuff. So, but, you know, I'm working a lot, playing a lot, and I'm happy with that. So, you know, the drumming's great.
Yeah, you're about 3 hours from me in Staten Island. We got about 12 inches. How much did you get?
Oh, I got to say, you got more snow than us this time. You wouldn't believe it. I'm up, you know, we're up in the Catskill Mountains. We only got about 3 inches. It's just, you know, with that, it's just the cold that's come in really more than anything.
Yeah,
so you got to speed with the snow.
Yeah. Ken, let's take a
trip
back, brother.
I don't worry
about
the snow too much, man. You know, you know, so.
Yeah. Let's go back a little bit. What made you want to hit things with sticks years ago?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I would have to probably say, you know, probably the Beatles. You know, Beatles, Hard Day's Night. I was young, maybe 3, 4, 5 years old in that time period. And, you know, I got to be honest with you, there was a table in the living room that had a great sound when you hit it with a stick. It was unbelievable. It had, and it was had brass on the side of it so I can kind of get like a ride cymbal sound, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it just went from there, you know, You know, my mom and dad probably said, you know, he's been playing on corporate boxes for a while now. We got to get him something, you know. So that's how it kind of went.
It was Ringo. What was the first set you had?
Well, I'll tell you what. The Kent. I got a Kent drum set from the next door neighbor who was a lawyer and his son drummed for many years, but he never played professionally or anything. And he had it in the basement. My mom and dad got a hold of that set. And they refurbished it for me for Christmas. But I wish I still had it, I'll be honest with you. They were cool drums. They were really thin, maybe 2-ply, 3-ply maple. Bearing edges weren't great, but they sang. They really did sang. Are you aware of the Kent drums?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
U.S. Mercury set. Remember the U.S. Mercury's?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, my white marine pearl. Just a great sounding set, though. They're long gone. I believe I gave them to my cousin for his first drum set, and he probably traded them in somewhere. It was in New Jersey off of Route 17 back in the 80s. So, you know, wherever they are now. So hopefully somebody's got them.
What are we talking about as the first song you've ever learned and played?
You know, Probably, oddly enough, it was probably something like The Lion Sleeps Tonight or something like that. I'm going back to the early, you know, early 60s, mid-60s. That's one I can remember. Yeah. I kind of labored over, you know what I mean? I don't know why. Then all of a sudden, you know, once the rock and roll kicked in, that changed everything, you know what I mean? Of course, you know.
I did that.
So I did
The Lion Sleeps Tonight a couple months ago, and I added some double bass. I'll send it to you.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, and I gotta tell you, Joe. I've been wanting to say this, but I hope somebody's hearing this, because I really appreciate what you do when you put drum tracks to songs that never had it before. I mean, it's one thing to you know, play along with the song with drums, but when you're doing that, you know, and some of these songs I'm hearing, like maybe Norwegian Wood or something like that. And I figured to myself, I would have did the same thing, you know what I mean? You know, in other words, I hear the song sometimes with a 6/8 drum beat in it, and then you're doing it on the thing, and I think that was great, man. It was awesome. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I've been doing that for like 30 years, but the last 5, I've been doing so much. I just like taking songs where there's no drums and making it something new. You know, you're actually making it a new song.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. You know, the funny thing about it is that a lot of those songs, like, especially, you know, I guess maybe they weren't played with click tracks necessarily, you know, like the,
right.
especially probably Rubber Soul wasn't really, I don't think. But when you play the drums to it, it almost, it's almost perfect anyway, you know what I mean? In time, you know, most of those songs. But the one you did, and I got to say this, because I know this, you're talking with me, but the interview, you were doing Working Class Hero. And there's,
yes.
I don't know, there's, I don't know what the time signature actually is in that song. But it flip flops, you know what I mean? That's a hard one to do.
I dedicated
I tried
it to you. Didn't I dedicate it to you?
What's that now?
I thought I dedicated it to you.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, I think a Working Class Hero, it changes from, it's not over, it's not at 6/8 really. I don't think, even though it feels like it is.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's like all you need is love. They had a bar or two here and there and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
But
right,
yeah,
right.
that was cool, you know. Yeah, totally. That got me though. Somebody called that at a gig I was playing one time up here. It was a blues band, and they wanted to just for some reason just jam on that. And I hadn't never played it, never approached it before, but I've heard it many times. It was a train wreck. It really was when if you didn't think about it, you know. But I thought that was great. You did it. Great job on that.
I think, if I'm correct, and let me be the first to say happy birthday. I think your birthday is next week, right? So let me say birthday before anybody else.
Yes, yeah, you got it. Yep. You're up on that. So, yeah, that's what it is, next week, 6th.
Tell me about, you know, the growing up. I think this year you're going to be 61 years old, if I'm correct. So
exactly, yep.
Maybe, yeah, maybe in the mid-70s you'd be a teenager. What were we listening to then? What were some of the bands you were into in your teen?
Some of the what? I didn't quite understand the last thing.
What were some of the bands you listened to in your teenage years?
Oh, well, you know, I was pretty much by that point I was listening to, you know, I was into Black Sabbath, Judas Priest. I'll tell you another great one was UFO. Really
okay,
underrated
sure.
British rock band. I mean, you know those guys, and Michael Schenker and that.
Sure.
You know, I was coming
sure.
from that, you know, and I got to be honest with you, right at that point, things changed a lot over the years, though. But at that point, I was kind of, you know, disco was happening a little bit, and so was New Wave, you know. And I wasn't totally against New Wave, but I really wasn't paying attention to the disco stuff. You know, we were really
right.
into the rock thing. But it was later on. And, you know, when you start listening to it and you go back to the R&B stuff, and of course, the guy you just had on, you know, JR, is like, he's like the king of the R&B drumming, you know what I mean? It's like unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, once I found out the songs he played on, and that just changed everything. But, you know, it was, I got to be honest with you, in that time period, Paulie was really into the hard rock, you know, and not so much the mainstream stuff. You know, UFO was never really mainstream too much, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. I remember all that stuff. I mean, I'm a little younger than you, but my thing was growing up in the 80s. I was into heavy metal, but I noticed
yep.
in the last 10, 15 years, I listen to so many different genres, and I like disco now. I like all those disco beats. There's a lot of 16 notes and a lot of stuff in disco that I like to listen to now.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's funny to me about that. It was like, I take a band, say for instance, Andy Parker from UFO, just study him for a second here. I didn't hear half the stuff when I was playing. I played that stuff in 1981 or 82, and so I was like 20 when I was playing it, you know? And I think back about it now, when I hear the songs now, I realize I didn't even come close to putting everything that was in there in terms of like the ghost notes and stuff that he was doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I didn't understand that stuff. It wasn't until I started getting into the R&B guys that the ghost notes came to me. You know, some from John Bonham for sure, but definitely the R&B. Like once I did like start getting into, you know, Steve Gadd and guys like that. You know, then I listened now when I listen back to that stuff, I realized he knew about it too. Probably Andy Parker probably listened to those guys. You know, a little bit.
Guys, we are live.
So that's a cool connection to make once you do that, you know.
Now, were you self-taught or you had a teacher growing up? Were you self-taught or you had?
Lost the connection, Joe.
Ken, you there?
I am, but I lost you just for some reason for a couple seconds. I'm here.
Tell me about growing up. Were you self-taught or you had teachers growing up?
Well, I'm self-taught basically, but I did take, let's put it this way, I didn't take lessons from a private instructor, but I did go through the school program in my town, you know, in Catskill, New York, up in this area. And, I got a lot from that. I got some basics in reading. I got over the stage fright because I got to say my band director, who maybe wasn't the greatest band director, but he let me bring my drums in to play in the stage band. And nobody had ever really done that, you know, back in, say, 1978 or 79 in my school. So, you know, I got to play concerts in front of 700 people when I was that old. So by the time I got into the clubs, it wasn't even an issue to be, nervous or anything. You know what I mean? So
right,
I got out of it. That was a great thing, you know what I mean, for me to play the drums. I tell you, it was a nervous feeling at that age to walk out onto a stage with, you know, 700, an auditorium full of people at a Christmas concert, you know, or a pop concert. So, yeah, well, that was a great thing. So, but I didn't take private instruction. There's been times in my life where I've felt, you know, that I would do it, and there's people up in my area that are, you know, Jack DeJohnette lives up here. There's some great drummers up here, you know. But
yeah.
I've never really got around to the private instruction. I learn it slow, Joe. You know how I do it? It's like, you know, I'll come up with something or hear something, and it'll slowly start to incorporate into my playing over time just by just jamming with it and maybe trying to slip it in live if I have a song that, you know, it's not going to destroy or something like that. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff.
Right, right.
You know, but yeah,
cool.
Yeah. I mean, and then, of course, Modern Drummer Magazine, that kind of stuff, you know, all those things, you know.
Yeah, we are live, 3-9-9-9-3-0-2-9 with Ken Marchesani, a great drummer from upstate New York. We're just great stuff. Talk about what you're doing now. You're playing with one band. Are we doing originals or covers? What are we doing now, Ken?
Well, you know, it's, you know, since the COVID, say that's the last 2 years of the COVID, everything changed. You know, everything changed, you know. So, but right now, I'm happy to say that I'm in the Saratoga County area with a band by the name of Beating the Odds, Southern rock band, cover band, and also a tribute level band that can play Skynyrd and Molly Hatchet tribute kind of shows too at that level too. Haven't played out with them yet. We just started learning songs. I was throwing about 53 songs and not being like really well versed in stuff other than the hits, you know, the Lynyrd Skynyrd stuff on the radio, which I love, you know, but I don't know all the albums, you know. So I'm looking at the list, and it's like, oh God, I got to learn about 35 of these songs cold that I've never heard before. And
yeah.
I just sat it, you know, and the only way I could do that, excuse me, was to play it over and over and repeat, you know, to learn it first, to say, you know, I could say Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah, I've heard it a million times. Maybe I've never played it, but just because I've heard it a bunch, it's easy, kind of easier to learn. But, you know, so, yeah, I had to do that. It took me about 2 months or so, and I'm caught up to them now. So, but our first gig was on April 23rd, and it's up in Clifton Park at Wicked. If anybody's from New York State, they know up this way. Great club. And, yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying, you know. I think what the COVID did to me this whole time period has kind of made me say, I don't want to play out 100 times a year anymore. Maybe I don't want to play out the winter as much as I used to because, well, for one, it's been tough. The last two winters have been shut down kind of. But, you know, I think more so, you know, I don't want to have to brave the driving out on Friday night with a foot of snow on the ground. I'm thinking that way, kind of like lately. Well, I'm very happy to say, yeah, I'm happy to say I'm in a great band right now, and I can't wait till we start playing out. Really can't.
Great. Now, talk to me about that, Ken, about learning songs, because I grew up in the 80s where I had to play the album, go back to the album, or press the cassette tape. Now we have a much better technology. We can even go on YouTube and watch the drummer.
Yeah. Yes, it's amazing, though. It really is, you know. I try not
to.
I got to be honest with you. I love
like
having
the new
all
way?
That stuff.
Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure, yeah. You know, but I got to say this though. I do try to test myself sometimes, and I, hear it, like, just to give you an example of a song, if anybody's out there that's played this song in their life, 38 Special, but Flirt with Disaster, you know?
Yeah.
That's got a lot of drumming in it, a lot of crazy little hi-hat lifts and stuff. And, I might say to myself, I'm going to see if there's anything out there because I want to just figure out how he's doing that lift or something. I don't go for the whole song, but, yeah, I'll use it that way for sure. But I like to keep my ear working, you know, and I test myself that way, too. I'll also learn it and then go to a guide on YouTube that maybe does it really, really good, and I'll say, oh, my God, I did that right. I got the same hand pattern and, but I used to do that too. I guarantee you did this because I know how you probably are, Joe. It shows. I saw Yes once, and it was long distance run around. It might not have been that. It was one of those songs off the live album that they did back then. Yes songs. And anyway, Perpetual Change, I think it was. And I said, I tried to learn that back when I was a teenager. And I said, well, we went to the show and I watched him intently. And I was so excited when I actually saw his hand pattern and everything was exactly what I was doing. You know what I mean?
Nice.
That gives you a boost of confidence as somebody that can play something, I understand it's playing something that somebody else did, but it's, you're still learning as you go. Cause if you put Bill Bruford in, Ringo Starr and John Bonham and Elvin Jones together, you got something different. That's not any of those guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's a great thing.
Yeah. But just, yeah, just great stuff. I just nowadays learning songs. You can go on YouTube. It's much easier just to.
Yeah.
I remember years ago pressing rewind on a cassette tape. The cassette tape would break or your album the needle on the album. I think technology has helped us in that way. You know.
Oh, for sure. And the video aspect of it, really. I mean, because remember when. I mean, are you in your 50s, Joe?
I'll be 53 this year.
Okay, so we got about 10, that decade, a decade is a big deal in terms of like what happened in time and stuff, but I remember growing up, for me anyway, when Buddy Rich came on the Tonight Show, if you for some reason saw the preview like on Wednesday that he was going to be on Friday night and you were a drummer, it was an amazing thing and it was like, few and far between, that you could see that kind of stuff. Or something like that, the Buddy Rich Ed Shaughnessy thing, which I saw live when it happened on I was watching it that night, that's one that comes to mind. And, when that was like one of like six times I saw something that great over a 20-year period on TV, So now, so we're so spoiled right now. But like I say, I still try to test myself a lot and say use my ear most as much as I can. And one other thing I'll mention too, I got a little app that it's a cool thing for drummers. It slows things down but keeps the pitch. If you're learning a cover song. You have something,
yeah,
right?
It's called Audacity. Yeah, I have a program too.
Yes, I'm not really a note for note guy necessarily, unless somebody's asking me to be that way if I'm learning a song.
Right,
but,
right.
Like a drum fill, like say Still of the Night off that Whitesnake album when he comes down on that last drum fill. I did that, to try and figure that one out. Because there's a lot going by in a quick time period. So,
it's
great. The technology's great.
Well, Ken, I appreciate this time, brother. Anybody who wants to get a hold of you on the social media apps, where can they go to do that?
Oh, they can get me at, just at my name, Ken Marchesani. I'm here on Facebook. I'm also in a band called Beating the Odds. Beating the Odds with an I-N and a hyphen there. It's we're on Facebook, too, as well. I'm not out there too much other than that, but I check all the time, and I'm always looking for the drumming, Joe. I gotta say one thing, man. Great to hear your voice. Great to talk to you, and I'm watching you every day, bro.
Thanks, bro. Guys, the great Ken Marchesani. Check him out, brother. I'll be in touch with you, and I thank you for coming on my show on the relaunch of Around
Joe,
the Kid.
Total honor for me to be a part of the first one too, and I'm looking forward to more of them. Okay, I'll talk to you soon, my man.
Thanks, Ken. Have a great night.
Thank you. Take care.
He's a great drummer. He's in many different bands. I watch him all the time. I'm not a Pearl guy. Ken Marchesani. Check him out. Guys, we've had a great relaunch show tonight. I mean, what can you say? We've had some great calls, some well wishes, and we had the legend J.R. John Robinson to enlighten us with his wisdom. Just great stuff. We learned so much again from him. And I always thank John J.R. Robinson, and I thank Ken Marchesani on the relaunch of Around the Kid. Thanks to our Centen sponsor. Let's give him a shot at Centen.
Around the Kid is sponsored by Centen Symbols. Centen Symbols is quickly becoming the choice for drummers worldwide. With their roots going back to the emperors of the Qing Dynasty, Centen blends the best of old-world know-how with modern techniques to help all drummers find the best fit for them. Whether you're an avid drumming enthusiast or touring professional, Centen has the perfect combination of products, pricing, and service to fit any drummer's needs. Contact them today to find out what the drum love is really all about. Centen Cymbals. Forge your sound.
And now, back to Around the Kid with Joe Ganzes.
Guys, we are live, 563-999-3029. We thank everybody responsible for the relaunch. I've missed this and look forward to our next show. Don't forget, guys, we will not be back in 2 weeks because of the Super Bowl. We are back March 20th with the Southpaw, Rod Morgenstein. Guys, have a great night, and thank you for joining us on the relaunch of Around the Kid, Drum Talk Radio. Thanks, guys.